Tom, you've played with Antonio Brown. How would you describe him as the player and the person?
Well, he's a tremendous football player. And, you know, I played with him for a brief period of time. So looking forward to working with him again and, you know, see what role he can come in. And you know, he's a very hardworking guy.
That was Tom Brady doing his best to say nothing interesting about his newest Bucs teammate, Antonio Brown. It's been more than a year since Brown last played in the NFL with Tom Brady in New England. But after just the latest in a series of troubling allegations emerged, the star receiver was cut by the Patriots and banished from the league. Until this week. Today, our very own Mina Kimes traces Brown's insane trajectory from childhood all the way to Tampa Bay, and whether the potential reward for Brady's Bucks is worth the risk. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, October 29th. This is ESPN Daily. Mina, you once profiled Antonio Brown. How long has it been since you reported that story?
Oh my goodness. It has been 5 years.
Mina Kimes is the host of The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny Podcast. She profiled Antonio Brown for ESPN in 2015.
Yeah, the last time I saw him or spoke to him was at a Ruth's Chris in Pittsburgh. He was actually on the ascent at the time because he was just a couple years as a starter in Pittsburgh. But he was definitely rising and well on his way to becoming one of the best NFL players, period. And gosh, a lot's happened since then.
AB and TB, it's going to be, again, in Tampa. Wide receiver Antonio Brown, Buccaneers agreeing on a one-year deal, according to Adam Schefter. Brown currently serving an eight-week suspension for various transgressions under the NFL's personal conduct policy.
AB has agreed to a one-year deal with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he is clear to enter the team facility as soon as this week. What was your reaction to that news?
In some ways, I was surprised, and in some ways, I was not surprised. We knew Antonio Brown had been suspended for 8 weeks, so this would be about the time that a team would sign him. We also knew that Tom Brady has a relationship with him, not just because they had played for New England last year, but also this summer, it was reported that he had worked out with Brady and a number of quarterbacks who he'd been linked to. So you knew Tom Brady enjoyed playing with him, had a relationship with him, and very much wants to win a Super Bowl. Surprised because this piece of news came out of nowhere. There were reports about Russell Wilson in Seattle, but until the day that the news came out, there were not reports recently linking Antonio Brown with the Bucs.
You mentioned that linkage between Brady and Brown. So what led to Brown's release from New England, and what was responsible for that now infamous subsequent eight-game suspension for what was deemed multiple violations of the league's personal conduct policy?
It was the very beginning of the 2019 season, and he had just been released by the Raiders. So the Patriots took a flyer on him, and everyone said, of course, New England. And he played one game.
And it was a great game, if I recall correctly.
He had a big game with Tom Brady, and it was against Miami.
Brady, end zone, caught by Brown, touchdown, New England.
You talk about faith in a receiver. Brady shows that he is very comfortable with number 17.
A couple things happened. A woman named Brittany Taylor, who was his trainer at one point, filed a lawsuit in Florida accusing him of sexually assaulting her on multiple occasions.
These are serious allegations. The two first met in college where they were in a Bible study together. Years later, she started working with him as his trainer. She is saying that he preyed on her kindness and her religious devotion.
He released a statement denying it. That lawsuit is still pending. On top of that, another woman came forward and told Sports Illustrated magazine that Antonio Brown had made an unwanted advance towards her. She was a painter he had hired. And then she went back to Sports Illustrated and sent them a group text chain that Brown had put her on, along with some other people, I guess his friends and his lawyer, asking them to look into her.
In it, Brown said she was making up some stuff for money and called her a super broke girl with a lot of kids. The woman's lawyer reportedly sent a letter to the NFL explaining Brown is intimidating and threatening our client in violation of the NFL personal conduct policy.
After that text came out, the Patriots cut Antonio Brown, and that was it for him that season.
So you mentioned that the lawsuit is still pending from Brittany Taylor, but as of right now, could the league still impose further discipline on Antonio Brown?
They could, yes. So the 8-game suspension, which was handed down this summer, was not about that particular accusation. It stemmed from burglary and battery charges that he pleaded no contest to. And then the text that I mentioned. So yes, they are still looking into the other allegation, and that could play out in the coming months.
Brown's reputation, given all of that, very obviously precedes him at this point. With all that in mind, Mina, it's worth looking at what happened in March of this year when Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers, who was the offensive coordinator for AB during his time with the Steelers, had this to say about the prospect of adding him to the Bucs.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room. You know, and probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here. Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
And in 2019, Arians called Brown a diva.
Too much miscommunication, too much diva. I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. They just got to make better decisions off the field.
So what has changed for Arians and the Bucs?
Well, Tom Brady is the quarterback. And as I mentioned, Tom Brady has a relationship with Antonio Brown. Arians did come out and say this wasn't, you know, Brady had nothing to do with it.
Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was some Jason I've been talking for a couple of weeks.
I'm not going to speculate as to the inner machinations, you know, in that team and who's making the calls, but I do think that matters. And then also, the Bucs receiver group is stacked, Pablo. They are one of the better groups in the NFL, but they have battled some injuries. Mike Evans, who is their ostensible number one receiver, has been fighting an ankle injury all season, even though he's played. And then Chris Godwin, who's their number two, but he's fantastic. He missed a few games earlier this season and has actually been ruled out for Monday night's game against New York with a broken finger. So it seems like they wanted to simply add depth at wide receiver.
But in terms of how Brady and Brown got along together during their short time in New England, how do they look on the field?
They looked incredible.
Brady from the gun fires. He's got Brown. They get him involved right away.
Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the history of football, by my estimation. Mm. Don't think that's too hot of a take. And Antonio Brown is, strictly from an on-the-field perspective, a Hall of Famer. He is one of the most complete receivers to ever play the game. He is good in the short, intermediate, and deep areas. He's an incredibly precise route runner.
Brady packs and throws. Catch and curl, Antonio Brown. Three targets, three receptions.
Couldn't ask for a better introduction to his new team.
The thing about Tom Brady, Pablo, is sometimes it takes him a while to develop that sort of chemistry with a wide receiver that we saw with him and Julian Edelman, for example, in New England. Mm-hmm. And I think early on in the Bucs season, you saw that with him, and his pass catchers are the ones who are available to him. So it's remarkable that Antonio Brown, straight out of the gate in New England, had that level of chemistry with Brady. Given that, again, from a strictly football perspective, you understand why Tom Brady wanted to play with him, even if Bruce Arians is saying he wasn't the decision maker.
So given that context, Mina, how optimistic are you about what's going to be happening in Tampa Bay offensively?
I feel like I am a broken record because I keep saying from a football perspective before I'm answering your questions about Antonio Brown, but it really is a very important caveat when it comes to all things AB based on the last few years. But from a football perspective, if he plays for the Buccaneers the rest of the season, this offense would looks unstoppable. Like I said, the pass catching group is already incredible. I didn't even mention Rob Gronkowski, who looks like his old self over the last few games or so. This, to me, at this moment, heading into Week 8, looks like the most balanced team in the NFL. Per Football Outsiders' DVOA metric, which measures teams' overall efficiency, they have them as the best team in the NFL by quite a wide margin. And adding Antonio Brown to the mix puts them over the top when they were already at the top, which candidly, you know, raises questions of whether or not they needed him in the first place and whether or not it was worth taking the risk.
All right, coming up, I want you to talk about that risk that the Bucs are taking on by signing Brown. And I also want to jump into the time machine to get your personal perspective on the guy you sat across from at Ruth's Chris back in 2015.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, so Mina, back in 2015, you profiled AB for the late, great ESPN The Magazine. What did you learn about Brown from your reporting at that time?
Pablo, the story I did on Antonio Brown was actually about both him and T.Y. Hilton, star wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. I became interested in both of their stories when I learned how linked they were. Both Hilton and Brown grew up in Miami's Liberty City. They knew each other as kids. T.Y.'s dad coached Antonio Brown, and then they kind of parted ways, and eventually they would come to reunite in the NFL. Whereas T.Y. had a very traditional family upbringing. He's still super close with his dad, who coached him. Antonio's upbringing was a lot more challenging. In the process of reporting the story, I learned that his dad, Eddie Brown, who was one of the greatest arena football players in history, wide receiver for the AFL, didn't really have a relationship with Antonio for most of his life. Antonio, you know, he bounced around a lot as a kid, at times sleeping in cars and hotels. He saw a lot of violence growing up. This was, you know, stories he told me about his childhood, and really had a difficult time not even making it to the NFL, making it to college. Eventually, he would walk on at Central Michigan University, which is very far from Liberty City, and that's where he broke out.
Across the middle, complete to Brown. He's got the first down, turns the corner. Midfield, cuts back, and he's going to go and tie this game. Antonio Brown, 79 yards. The flag comes out for the celebration.
Again, that's a small school. It's not like one of your traditional FBS powerhouses, which is why he ended up being drafted in the sixth round. He was the 22nd wide receiver in his draft class, and he was taken,
wow,
you know, by Pittsburgh that year. So I don't think anyone who knew Antonio Brown at the time had any idea that he would end up having the sort of career he went on to have and is still having.
What do you remember about his time on the field with the Steelers? Exactly how transcendent was he at his position?
So he took a couple years to break out. He was a returner at first, and that Steelers receiver group was super stacked. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was quarterback back then as well. And he joined when they went to the Super Bowl, but he emerged pretty soon after that as Ben's favorite target.
Ben's going to throw it for the end zone. Down in the end zone, there's a touchdown and a leaping grab by a
There was a stretch, maybe 2012 and 2017, 18, where many people would agree he was the best wide receiver in the league. Just incredibly consistent, year after year.
Ben steps forward, fires it on the run. Look out, at the 30, 25, 20. That is Brown. He's going to the 5. He's going to the pylon. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
Getting over 100 catches, over 1,200 yards every season. He was Ben's guy. Ben would go to him in the biggest moments, in the biggest games.
Gets the snap, blitz. Over the middle, here comes Antonio.
Like I said, he appeared to be destined for the Hall of Fame.
When did we get signs, Mina, that he might end up being this guy who was trailed by all these off-the-field issues? At what point in this chronology does all that start to become clearer?
I think Steelers reporters would say that there had been things marinating for a while, in particular between him and Roethlisberger, but the public first caught wind of it in 2017. Pittsburgh had just beaten Kansas City in the AFC divisional round, and Brown had had a huge game, and they were celebrating in the locker room, and he live streamed the celebration. He goes on Facebook, and I think he was paid for it now that I remember it. And so the camera, it caught Mike Tomlin, who's the coach of the Steelers, you know, saying something profane.
They played yesterday. Our game got moved to tonight. We're going to touch down at 4 o'clock in the morning. So be it. We'll be ready for but you ain't got to tell them they're coming.
And it was like it was an incident. Again, now that we looking back on everything that's happened then, it seems very tame, right? But
yes,
it was a big deal because it was kind of like the first real significant public misstep for Brown, and he was fined and had to apologize. And that sort of, in retrospect, was the first crack in the facade of his relationship with the team. The next year, it's the end of the 2018 season, right? We're going into 2019, and Pittsburgh's still in contention to win the AFC North. And all of a sudden, these reports come out that Roethlisberger and Brown had had a fight. And then we hear Brown was skipping practices before the final game against Cincinnati, and he's benched. And honestly, it's just this shocking piece of news.
Sunday, his uniform was in the locker. Most of his teammates expected him to play, but when he showed up at Heinz Field, he did not, in fact, suit up to play. I'm also told by multiple members of this organization that Brown left Heinz Field at halftime.
Pittsburgh ends up not going to the playoffs that year. And at the time, we didn't know it, but that was the end of his career in Pittsburgh. He goes to social media, and this is sort of, I think, the beginning of him really wilding out on social and says he wants out, time to move on. And at the time, Pablo, people thought, well, there's no way. Because he had 3 more years on his contract.
Right.
The way contracts work in the NFL is that even if you trade a player, there's still dead money. Tens of millions of dollars in dead money would have to hit Pittsburgh's cap. So it seemed impossible. And then the impossible happened.
Antonio Brown is now a Raider. That's right, a verbal agreement between Oakland and Pittsburgh.
The Steelers traded him to Oakland, John Gruden, for a 3rd and 5th round pick. And Pablo, like every grade that we gave, said this was a huge coup for the Raiders, right? To get a receiver of Antonio Brown's caliber for so little. And then for Pittsburgh to have to take on that much dead money, it seemed at the time like an absolute no-brainer for Oakland and an absolute L for Pittsburgh. In retrospect, the fact that Pittsburgh was willing to do that and take on that much dead money probably spoke volumes about what Brown was doing or not doing inside the organization.
That cost benefit that we presume the Steelers ran, it sort of becomes a very public concern when he arrives in Oakland, because a lot of other weird stuff starts happening when he gets to his new team. What exactly goes down with Antonio Brown under the employment of John Gruden?
Golly, I'm trying to remember like the order in which all this stuff happened. Again, this was last summer. It starts with the helmet.
The helmet, that's right.
The helmet. Again, another wild story breaks, which is that he is refusing to change helmets.
Mike Mayock offering an ultimatum to AB, be all in or all out after the NFL rejected another outdated helmet preferred by the star wide receiver. Browns agent Drew Rosenhaus said he's hopeful Helmetgate will have a resolution shortly.
Basically, Antonio Brown was upset because the league had decertified the helmet he had been wearing forever. And he didn't want to wear the new helmet. And this turned into like a big issue. And it was reported that he was arguing with the coaches at OTAs. And I believe at one point tried to sneak in his old helmet, but had like sharpied over it or something. Crazy like that. I don't know. And it really spiraled. And then, of course, given the context of him leaving Pittsburgh, people started to get really nervous. Then in July, ahead of training camp, the team puts him on their non-football injury list. And again, people are very confused as to what's going on. Turns out he had gotten frostbite on his feet because he had...
Ugh.
Yeah, because he had gone to a cryotherapy session, or he'd put his feet in a cryotherapy machine and posted photos of said feet.
Oh,
that
I have the photo.
Really,
oh my God. Why?
Not great.
Just layers. It's like looking through the layers of the earth, but it's feet.
So, Pablo, all of this was playing out on social media via Antonio Brown, but also Hard Knocks. I don't know if you remember, but
yes,
the Raiders were featured on Hard Knocks that summer. So some of this, who I know the real winner here was the Hard Knocks producers, maybe the only winner, honestly, in all of this that summer. So it's a circus, you know, like OTAs and training camp. It's just nonstop drama with Antonio Brown and the Raiders.
Eventually, this does not end well. It ends pretty badly. So
yes,
where does it go from like whimsical, oh man, this guy has like messed up feet and this weird sharpied helmet, to actually this is unsustainable?
Right before the season. So this was last September. Our Adam Schefter reports that Antonio had gotten into an altercation with Mike Mayock, the GM of the Raiders, reportedly punting a football and yelling, "Find me for this," or something.
Naturally.
And again, I want to stress this enough. Like, Antonio Brown was owed a lot of money by the Raiders, right? Like, they signed him to a new deal.
3 years, $50 million of contract extension.
$30 million in guaranteed money. So it didn't make sense for Antonio Brown to cut bait at this point, because the Raiders could get out of paying him that. But that's exactly what happened.
We have breaking news just into SportsCenter. Antonio Brown has been released by the Oakland Raiders. He got what he asked for.
He demands to be released. The Raiders release him and they void the guarantees.
This part of the chronology I do remember, because wasn't there a video that AB had someone make where he like runs around his yard celebrating the freedom from the Raiders
Same
he had
day.
Just obtained?
The freedom bell ring got me fly like a free, fly like an eagle. <Let go. laughs>
Yes, and then that same day he announces that he is signing with the New England Patriots.
It's insane when you stack it all up in this way. It's insane that all of this happened that recently. But this brings us all back to his relationship with Tom Brady and the opportunity that Antonio Brown has again in front of him with yet another team full of people that desperately want him to work out as their teammate. So what does this signing by the Bucks, given all of this off-the-field drama, Mina, what does it tell us about the league as a whole?
I think it confirms something that anyone who's followed the NFL, frankly, and most really any league, to be honest, knows, which is that talent buys tolerance, right? And Antonio Brown is one of the most talented players to ever play the game. Like, I cannot stress enough how good at football he is. Because if he wasn't, There's no way he would be on an NFL team at this point. I mean, players have been cut for so much less than the things that he has done or been accused of doing. And by the way, in our retelling, I realize we've put a lot in here. I've left out many things, many posts, many tweets, many allegations, many brushes with the law. You know, it's nonstop, right? So it really speaks to, I think, the way in which players, in this case, I would say Tom Brady and teams, value winning and the sort of degree to which extremely gifted players in this league are afforded so much more leeway than others. Brady and others with the Bucs, they've said, and Russell Wilson with Seattle, they've said he's changed. We have a relationship with him, you know, not really addressing the various allegations that we've discussed and sort of leaving that up to the courts and the league and whatnot. But I can guarantee you he would not be in the position that he is in if he was not as good at football as he is.
So in terms of the Bucs in specific now, I mean, you had pointed out that there is good advanced data that suggests that the Bucs are already right now the best team in the league before even getting Antonio Brown. So could this experiment just end up completely backfiring?
You never know the degree to which locker room chemistry, which is a real thing, right? Like football nerds like myself, we don't really talk about it that often when we're analyzing teams, but it matters. So you never know how much it matters, frankly, how much a single free radical or whatever you want to call the sort of element that's unpredictable comes in, how much it can shake up a locker room and disrupt a environment that at this point appears to be, you know, pretty good and placid and successful. So I really can't predict the future. I have no idea whether Antonio Brown is going to act like he did for the first few years of his career or whether or not we might see the same player that we saw in Oakland. But I will say this, they are accepting a level of risk that didn't exist before because they have done the calculus that you and I have been discussing and decided it's worth it to them from a football perspective.
Mina Kimes, for the record, when you were in this locker room, you were a very positively reviewed presence.
Thank you so much. I consider myself to be non-disruptive, so I appreciate that.
All right, coming up, Daryl Morey is about to land in Philadelphia to take over the 76ers, which has me extremely in my feelings about the process and how we got here.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. The Sixers are making Daryl Morey their president of basketball operations, which is a godsend for Philadelphia. Daryl employs very smart people. He's a patient, systematic team builder, and the Sixers hiring him is kind of like marrying the older sister of your ex-wife, the one you divorced 4 years ago, the same ex-wife who was painstakingly building you that beautiful home that you lit on fire while all but one of your children got sent away. Now, that may sound dramatic, but you have to understand how Philly got here. Darrell had just stepped down after a 13-year run in Houston, where he contended for the top of the West and traded for James Harden and got in trouble with China and basically did for basketball what Billy Beane did for baseball. And one of those very smart people Darrell employed was none other than his pal Sam Hinkie, Philly's ex-GM. And before that, Darrell's assistant GM, the guy who architected the James Harden trade in the first place. You may now recall that the private equity billionaires who own the Sixers basically ousted Sam in 2016 after just 2.5 years on the job, after he famously gut-renovated the entire franchise. And full disclosure here, I can discuss the process, which I may or may not have named, for hours, how it exploited every rule that going all in on the future allowed. But all you really need to know right now is that its greatest crime wasn't all the losses. Darrell himself never had permission to tank in Houston, but he once told me that given the totally barren roster Sam inherited, the process was the best route to star players and title contention. Hinkie's greatest crime, in fact, was bad press. It was unpopularity. The Sixers owners, verifiable winners in the National Capitalism Association, hated being called losers. They hated having to wait for the future as people in the present made fun of all of their L's. And so Sam was divorced midstream, and in came Brian Colangelo, the very GM Maury and Hinkie used to prey upon in trades. Colangelo went and took Sam's kids to the playoffs, and then got caught in the most embarrassing burner Twitter account scandal in sports history. And so he was out, leaving a fragmented, aimless front office, which managed the roster so poorly that this year's playoff run left fans feeling hopeless. That's how Maury got here. That's how he became the best available person to work with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and new coach Doc Rivers. But to be clear, Maury's arrival in Philadelphia is not a sign that Sam Hinkie might follow him through that open door. That whole thing went up in flames. You don't marry the older sister of your ex-wife to get back with your ex-wife. But Daryl Morey is a real sign of hope now. And maybe, just maybe, some regret. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.